Welcome to Steadfast Hope. So glad you've chosen to join us. I'm Steve Lawson, joined by Kent Steinbeck, and we're coming to you from Dallas, Texas, Herb's House Coffee Shop. You're going to love it. And we're studying the attributes of God, and we've come to a particular attribute that is so misunderstood. It may be the most misunderstood attribute of God that there is, and it is the foreknowledge of God. Our text is Romans 8 and verse 29, which reads, "For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of God." And so many people look at this word, Kent, foreknowledge, those whom he foreknew, and they immediately jump to the conclusion that this means foresight, that God in eternity past looks down the proverbial tunnel of time. Yeah, he looks and to see what you're going to do and then responds to man's decision and makes it his decision once he sees what man's decision is. And they assume that that's what foreknowledge means. And that may be the way that you have mistaken it over all these years. I had mistaken it that way for so many years. Let me tell you why that doesn't add up. Number one, God has never looked into the future and learned anything. God has known everything immediately, eternally, comprehensively from all eternity past. So there's not stages of knowledge that are coming to God. That would be a very warped view of God, to think that God is gaining knowledge along the way. But the main reason why this is not true, if all God did was look into the future, and that's all that it was, to see what man's going to do, all God would see is no one would believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each one of us has turned to his own way. There's none who seeks after God. No, not one. All God would see is everyone is running away from him. But there's another reason why that's not the proper interpretation. It's what the word foreknowledge itself means. It comes from a Greek word. I'm going to pronounce it prognosko. And pro means beforehand. Gnosko means to know with an intimate love relationship. It's the difference between knowing about someone and actually knowing them. And in the Bible, this is used, gnosko is used to really refer to the intimate relationship between a husband and wife that results in conception and having a child. For example, in Genesis 4, verse 1, in the Greek translation of the Old Testament, it says that Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and gave birth to a son. To know in the Bible means to enter into the most intimate personal relationship. The same could be said in Matthew 1, 25. It reads in our English Bible, Joseph kept Mary a virgin. It doesn't read that way in the original Greek that Matthew wrote it. It just says that Mary did not know Joseph. Well, she knew all about him. She was betrothed to him. She just didn't know him in an intimate way. So the point is, Kent, when we bring the prefix pro and the root word gnosko together, prognosko, it means those whom God chose to enter into a personal love relationship with beforehand, before they were born, really before the foundation of the world. And it really is synonymous with the doctrine of election and God's sovereign choice of those whom he would save from before the foundation of the world. And it underscores how loving of God it is to exercise his will in this manner. In Matthew 7:23, Jesus says of those who say, "Lord, Lord, I never knew you," meaning I never had a relationship with you. And in John 10, in verse 14, Jesus said, "I know my own, and my own know me," meaning I have a relationship with my sheep, and my sheep have a relationship with me. And in John 10 and verse 27, Jesus said, My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. I have a relationship with them, and they know me. So all this is to say, Kent, that foreknowledge is a very precious truth that God chose to set his heart of love upon his elect before time began and chose to enter into a relationship with them that would be realized within time at his appointed time when he would bring them to faith in Jesus Christ. So, Kent, as always, we want to talk about this. This is a precious truth.
So, Steve, great lead up to my question.
Ah, very good.
I remember, as you do, I remember where I was sitting and the man's name when he tried to first teach me this.
Yeah.
And I was boiling hot, mad, angry.
Yeah.
And I guess that was your experience.
Yep,
and is it because, this is the question, when we're talking about these high view of God's, the attributes of God and who he is, do we naturally try to bring God down to what we think we would do?
Yeah.
Is that what that is? Do we think, okay, God would do this, so I would do this, so God would do that.
Yeah.
Or I would think this, so God would think that. Is that what we do?
Yeah. We want God in a box. We want God inside the box of our little tiny minds, and we want to think of him operating like we operate. In Psalm 50, the sin that was brought against Israel was, God said, you think I'm just like you.
So we make God in our image.
Yeah, we do, which is idolatry, which is to recast in our minds an understanding of who we think God is, that is contrary to what he actually really is.
Is that our sinful nature?
Of course it is. It's darkness inside of us. And that's why we have to look into the Bible.
Because it takes us the opposite way, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's antithetical.
Uh-huh.
Our leaning is away from the truth. And certainly the world around us is shaping our thoughts about God in a different direction. And the devil, who's the father of lies, is certainly taking us in a different direction. That's why we have to be anchored to the scripture and anchored to the truth and to actually know how to study the Bible and how to search out even words like foreknowledge and not automatically assume, oh, I know what that means.
Yeah.
No, you don't automatically know what that means. And it really underscores that we have to be able to access the original languages that the Bible was written in. And this is a great example of that. The Bible was not written in English. It was the Old Testament in Hebrew, parts in Aramaic, the New Testament in Greek. And we have to be able to operate in those original languages. And I will say, Kent, with software today, you don't have to go to seminary. I mean, right here, I can just look up every word in the entire Bible and see what it means. And that's available to you as well with apps. So the foreknowledge is just a classic example. And Kent, I had the same experience as you did. And I was fuming mad when someone explained this to me.
I had it in my mind the way I wanted it.
Yeah, my God's not like this.
Yeah.
And then as I search the Bible, study the text, and realize I've been wrong for so long, I've got to go with what the scripture teaches. And I can remember where I was and the dramatic impact that it had upon my life. Some people have said it's like being saved all over again as far as what you feel like as you come to know these truths. So, Ken, is there anything else, any other fruit hanging on the tree?
I think we talked about this in another message, but when we were out witnessing to people at the lake the other day, we said to a guy, we said, and this is just, it's just our fallen nature. We said, well, do you believe in hell? And he said, no. Well, because his mind doesn't want to think that.
Sure.
Right? Sure. Same way, we don't want to think God has foreknowledge or he's predestined or who he is.
Yeah.
And so that was just, that's part of our sinful human nature, I guess. We're always battling.
It's a control issue. We want to retain the control of our life. We want to be independent of God. We want to be autonomous. We want to be an island unto ourselves. We want the reins in our hands.
Work it out ourselves.
Work it out ourselves. And we're such fools because we're destroying ourselves. And God always makes the right decision in every situation.
We get past ourselves.
We do.
In our minds and in our hearts and souls and everything.
Which is why Jesus said to be a follower of him, you must deny yourself. Take up a cross and follow me. That's why Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Well, I think the message should be pretty clear as we've been studying this, that we need to trust in this sovereign, eternal God to make the right decisions for our lives. And he has set his heart of love upon us in Christ, if you're a true believer in him. Well, may God strengthen you and encourage you today as we have given thought to the foreknowledge of God. God bless you. Can't wait to see you our next study.